Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You're listening to a talk as part of the Glasgow School of Social Work seminar series. This talk was recorded on the 27th of May 2010. Dr. Arash Touche, PhD researcher in psychotraumatology at Glasgow School of Social Work. Vicarious traumatization or vicarious transformation.
Good news is we've got three short meditation course today. So it's going to be a mixture of presentation, talk, and sama and meditation, everything together. The whole package is available today. So what I'm going to talk is, my speech is not focusing on the negative aspect of dealing with traumatized people, but I'm going to more focus on the positive side, the bright side of traumatherapy and the reward in there. So you see here, the title speaks itself. So 30 years of psychosymptomatology and the concept of vicarious trauma. And today we are talking about vicarious transformation. So this one was the first meditation course, less than 2 minutes. And that's my painting as well. You can go online and find out my painting on the link below. It's going to work. I designed the website myself. So probably the first experience of web designing as well. So as can you see here, that's the painting, the Rumi. Rumi in Sama is oil on canvas. Let's back to presentation. Psychotraumatology. The message is very clear. I can't see any point to discuss more. But trauma therapy is a branch of psychotraumatology that we are going to discuss today. Vicarious traumatization, as Buber says, injury to the human order. What happens to the therapist? That's the question. The main thing is identity. We start with identity. What is identity? Probably from the first day we begin with our gender, with our name, with our culture, our study background, are these identity? That's the question. And what happens in vicarious trauma is therapist's sense of identity is going to be disturbed. I'm not going to use another terminology. Probably disturbed is a better one. Probably he or she may lose the sense of who he or she was when the effect is very vast, very intense, sometimes. And also, psychosomatic side effect of dealing with trauma, probably what we call the syndrome like IBS. Most of the therapists in the field suffering from the kind of stress that affects and appears in their body functions and other things. Probably increased level of blood pressure and probably some of them may get diabetic and other things. But I'm going to show you other stuffs here. You see, I'm not very good to explain the negative side because the focus of the study here is on the positive side. And also, the therapist's spirituality may be affected. We're going to discuss this a little more. So, cognitive and physical symptoms. This is the first exception of my thesis, Angela. I've changed the names here to keep participants' privacy and confidentiality. And I also highlighted the words and phrases that I thought maybe more eye-caught, and probably because the quotation is very long all day, and the discussion today, so probably is the best way to make you focus on some phrases and words. So you see, when you identify with a client who have been abused sexually, as a therapist, you can't distract yourself. And you can't distract the image you got in your mind when you are in your private zone. That's the problem. And 30 years of literature just make suggestions of how you can be more attentive to be probably to avoid or to prevent vicarious trauma, but it is still there. You cannot avoid it, you cannot prevent it, because everything you do, you still may suffer as a therapist, as a healthcare profession, or even as a trauma support worker. What happens when a therapist starts dealing with trauma? The first thing that is mostly subconsciously, the trauma gets inside without you know it and without you recognize it. It goes inside, and probably all of us aware of how we could bracket our minds, how we could distract. In the training, we all know this kind of stuff and skills we learned, but in practice it's different. So almost all therapists I interviewed in my research mentioned that even they regularly attend to supervision, to trainings, but still they get suffered from vicarious trauma. This is the new concept I developed in my thesis. I add a phrase symbolic to the vicarious traumatization. It's very interesting that even the language and the tone the clients use to describe the traumatic event may affect intensely the therapist. You see here, the client is mentioning and giving an example as a rose to describe the intensity of the experience. And nothing is mentioned clearly and specifically here, but the rose is something that the therapist over-identified with it. It's a symbol. As you see, she's describing that because I love rose, and the client uses this metaphor, this symbol, to describe the situation and how trauma affects her. You see the comment. So in my eyes, horrendous, it all struck me, if I'm right. And it's very interesting that when somebody uses the metaphors and symbols, it's a double impact, because subconsciously you can make an imagination of the symbol that the client uses, and you are hearing consciously. So the intensity of the impact is going to be doubled when the client uses the symbols and metaphors. And here we reach to the concept of wounded healer. It's a Jungian concept in psychotherapy. But probably we're going to back to this concept when we're going to consider therapist motivations. It's very interesting that the participants shared their whole experiences with me, and also some of them clearly mentioned that the interview process was a healing opportunity for them. That's the feedback I've got from them. So in this case, Sarah, also I changed the name. She's the child of rape, and she was a witness of domestic violence. And it's very interesting. Sometimes we don't recognize our motives to do something, but in mental health field, it's very important that you identify your own needs as a therapist and be aware of what you're doing. Are you healing yourself or others? So here is the motivation, being a wounded therapist. Back to the Sarah, previous slide. Coming back to my childhood, I haven't really thought about that until we discussed that today. So she is a specialist trauma therapist, and she didn't recognize that probably her experience as a wounded child brought her here. And she also told me that she was in her 50s when we got an interview. And she told me she hadn't got any child, and she made this deliberately, although she had conflict with her partner because of the children. And she told me, "I feel I'm not a good mother, because back to my memories and probably subconsciously I couldn't give the love she or he probably needs. So I made this conscious decision not to have any children. That's the result. Even as a therapist, you may still suffer. So the other motivation is spirituality. In Henry's case, in actual fact, so probably believing in higher good is a main motive for some therapist to be a healer. And there are some studies that focuses on positive outcome of stress, like what Tedeschi and Cologne mentioned as a post-traumatic growth. But their main focus is client, not the therapist. So they were looking at developmental and some other positive outcome of being as a survivor of a traumatic event. And the main thing is wisdom. Wisdom is product of growth. We will back to this concept. The other painting, again, you can find the painting on the website. So, meaning-making and trauma therapy. What's in the meaning? This was my research title, Search for the Meaning in the Context of Trauma. Also, my methodology supports the title, because I was using interpretative phenomenological analysis. And I was really interested to find out what meaning involved in being a trauma therapist. So my main question was, what does it mean to you to be a trauma therapist? It was a very open-ended question to give the therapist a chance to share whatever they want to share. And that's the meditation, isn't it? Brady et al. In 1999 is the first and the main, probably the framework in the field. They were looking at the spiritual impact of trauma therapy, and the result is very interesting. The more exposure to trauma material, the higher the respondent's spiritual well-being. It's a huge contradiction, isn't it? So, spiritual impact of VT on therapists. We are here to learn lessons and to grow. A quotation from Buddhist practice, because Angela considers herself as a Buddhist, as a mindful therapist. And again, a big one, big quotation. She's raising a very critical question about the meaning and the impact of dealing with trauma. Why person who raped and sexually abused? What is the point of learning a lesson from this horrendous experience? And she came to the conclusion that it's just about the vulnerability and nothing else. The political point of view. We are not vulnerable. We think we are. Healing spiritualities. It's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey from head to heart. So I started from head, looking for the meaning and the construction of meaning. What else is in mind that keep us going and keep us suffering and still doing? Again, suffering and doing. So what's the point? What's meaning in there? And I find out at the end of the journey that there is no meaning. It's meaningless. We are just trying to give meaning to something that is initially meaningless. And that was my methodology, because IPA, like other interpretative approaches, just looking at the construction of meaning, meaning making, and meaning giving. That's all. But I'm really interested to go beyond meaning, probably for the next research. I developed a new proposal, also again under supervision of Pam. It's a very transpersonal therapeutic approach in a traumatic context. What's the meaning of transpersonal? Transpersonal psychology and transpersonal psychotherapy is a combination of Eastern mysticism and the Western schools of psychology, mostly the work of Carl Gustav Jung and the other colleagues. That is a list, like Asagioli, psychiatrist, and also groove. So the combination of Eastern mysticism with Western psychology is the main root of transpersonal psychology. And most of the therapists, hopefully, I've interviewed in this research were applying approach very close to transpersonal. Most of them were interested in mindfulness-based practice, and they were using meditation as a therapeutic tool to enhance the client's well-being and themselves as well. So I remember one of them was a social worker, 18 years experience. He was doing regular retreats once a year. A geisha master from Japan comes over to the UK and they go to the retreat, to the nature. He also practices meditation every day, 20 minutes every day. And he used to be manager of one of the organization I'm not going to mention here. And also he practiced logotherapy, a combination of Eastern and Western. And he was very successful. And by successful, I mean they asked him to leave. That's the term I'm using by successful. After 18 years sacrificing his life, the board decided he needs to leave. So he was very disappointed of their decision, but he was also very happy that he's got more time to look after his own world. Authenticity. It's very important. It's not a value. Probably some of the concepts here may lead you or mislead you that I'm talking about the values. Authenticity is not a value. It's a therapeutic approach. As a transpersonal therapist, you need to be authentic. Authentic as much as possible. That's the main point. If you are not authentic, you cannot present yourself with your whole being. And a transpersonal therapist always involves with their whole beings. And that's the healing happens. So probably the most criticism of Western psychology here is we are just focusing on our skills and we trust them very much. And we don't trust to humanity and the power that all human beings got in themselves, the talent. The healing happens within the person. Is not coming from the outside. We cannot put the healing from outside to the client. It's a process. They find their ways to be healed. And we are just facilitating the process. And probably we are helping ourselves as well, as I'm going to mention later. So the healing process is a reciprocal process, is a mutual process of growth and personal development. For Henry, very, very critical questions, and you need to answer as a transpersonal therapist. You need to answer very honest. Healing the healer, probably five elements of transpersonal approach to healing the wounded healer. But the main thing is, when you are compassionate enough to sacrifice yourself and to deliberately expose to the danger, to the risk. So you've got something more. And how you can enhance your abilities as a healer, as a therapist. You may go to the trainings, but you may find something is missing. Some of the participants were arguing and addressing that ordinary training is not adequate enough to equip them to be prepared for something unknown. Trauma is a gift. Let me say like in this way. Trauma is a gift. I'm very precise about this. Trauma, not other issues that probably raise in your mind. Just trauma. Trauma is a means for self-awakening for everybody. And healer choose to be to follow his or her spiritual journey in a reciprocal exchanging of energy with client. And it's not a story. It's a process that emerged from my interviews. And it's very interesting. I personally surprised. I'm going to explain the process later. Again, short meditation. Just stick to the poetry. Just a suggestion, outcome, but probably develop an artistic discipline really helped me as a trauma therapist to get to the place of balance. When I'm doing a painting, I'm meditating. And I'm not affected by anything, even very, very horrible stories. I'm not telling you that I'm a Superman, but or superhero, but I'm just using a simple way of living. And meditation is a lifestyle, it's not a technique. So there is a possibility of psycho-spiritual transformation for trauma therapists. And that's the emerging terminology, vicarious transformation. The psycho-spiritual development in trauma therapists that occurs by processing vicarious trauma. The processing is the main part. So probably you may say, we all process, but this is a different one. When you are processing with your cognitive capacity, you are still suffering. You need something beyond mind and mindset and construction of meaning that can cover all of your concerns. You cannot fight with mind by mind. You need to go beyond mind and then observe your mind and process your mind as a witness. You cannot be involved with your thought processes and then there is no surprise. You will still suffer from vicarious trauma and other things. It's a transformative process. It's a very interesting analogy. I really like it. The Rebecca mentioned here. She is like a caterpillar. At that point when we were discussing the interview, she said, I'm a chrysalis and she don't know she's going to be moth or butterfly. But interesting enough that she said, when you are in a cocoon, you're using your protective mechanisms. You're still suffering and you are scared. You are in darkness. But when you open the cocoon and you find out you've got very beautiful wings and you are not what you thought you've been there because it was a dark place. You couldn't identify who is in the cocoon. You never know that you have the capacity to be a butterfly and you can fly. Then there is no place to be scared. And inner knowledge is very interesting concept, isn't it? Rebecca says, trauma therapy is an inner knowledge you get from inside. Even you go to the training, even you read books, you process theories, everything, but is an inner knowledge you get from inside. Probably meditation is very helpful to get the inner knowledge out. And also a spirituality process from Rebecca again. So what my research got from the interviews is not from my own experience. It's from therapists in the Glasgow. And I think probably sometimes I feel that we are sharing the same issues, but as a therapist, as a researcher, I need to keep myself separate from their journey, from their narratives. I was very mindful of that. The whole constructive mindful trauma therapy, the model that developed in this research, in this study, mentions three stages that start from processing trauma or self-preservation to transforming trauma, that is the capacity for the therapist's personal development. And the stage three is very important, that almost all therapists in this research using the mindfulness kind of practice that really helped them to not survive but to live the trauma mindfully. And the journey from a conditioned wounded therapist to an unconditioned emancipated healer. And here is the summary of the CMTT model that developed within this study. This is a good summary. In stage two, getting existential balance is very important. That's the focus of the study, the place of meaning, the construction of meaning, and what meaning making and meaning giving brings for the therapist. I've made a comparison between two other models, two other theories from Herman and Pearson here, and also myself, as you can see here. Three stages, processing trauma, like stage one, from Herman and Pearson, ego or safety. Different terminology. Stage two, transforming trauma, for Herman and Pearson is soul, mourning, remembrance. And the last one, living trauma, self, reconnection, sorry. So the integration part, integrating the ego to self, or a journey that begins from ego and ends up to the self. You die in the ego and you born in the self, your real self. You forget all about yourself, all your identity, so that's not a problem anymore. We started with the problem from the beginning, that I mentioned that vicarious trauma has a very intense effect on therapist identity. So you lose your identity as an ego, you forget whatever you learned about yourself, and you wake up as who you really are, a real self at the end of your journey. It's a very interesting quote, but we need to pass and also hear. So I made this the title, Therapist Transformation and Personal Development Combined in the Client's Work, from the quotation. The title from what Shiva says. So the capacity, the talent, whatever you want to call it, is within the client, and you get that from them. So the positive impact of transforming trauma, that is, you find meaning in suffering, but I feel there is no meaning in suffering. We need to be happy, and still we are suffering, we can experience happiness. That's our choice. We need to learn that. Living vicarious trauma, mindfulness-based trauma practice, and the therapist's sustainability. My time is going to be up, and integrating the client's suffering to our whole beings. That's very interesting. So all we learned up to now is just need to avoid the clients, need to distract our mind from clients. Even some of the therapists mentioned that I also take off my clothes, my work clothes, and separate them in the other shelf that not touches my home. That's, you see, there is a contradiction here. If you are not authentic, if you avoid from your client, you're not a healer. You're just doing a job, and probably wrong one. Conclusion. So everything is set up here. That is, the journey is a very developmental and transformational. And we start from meaning and we go to the transpersonal, because there is no meaning there, is meaningless, is an eternity, and is a very safe place to be, you and your client, both together. You can go there, it's very pleasant. You probably lose the seriousness of trauma, and maybe you will be more playful. You're playing with trauma, and you're enjoying that you already suffered, because of your conditioned mind, and now you got the freedom, you emancipated, you got self-awareness, and you know who you are, and the past is never exist because it's in your mind condition. The past is from psychological time, in transpersonal time. We don't have past, we don't have future. So there is no past, there is no future. So what's the worry? And thank you for this privilege. Thank you very much.
This recording is copyright of Aris 2011. It may be reused in the terms of Creative Commons licenses, attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 2.5 UK Scotland license. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.